high, we might say. They have a fear that God does not love them anymore. Of course, we know that Satan is kind of behind that. Satan would love for us to feel that way, wouldn't he? We may even develop an idea that when bad things happen to us, God is punishing us for our unspiritual ways. And if this kind of attitude continues to develop, one may fall into Satan's scheme to get you to give up on God and begin to feel like, well, what's the use of struggling on? I will never be good enough. I might as well just quit and give it up. Well, the inspiring writings of David tell us that God's loving kindness is as high as the heavens are above the earth. What does that mean? That means that His loving kindness is limitless. It's not that He just loves us, but without limit, He has the ability to love us when we are weak and imperfect. We can't forget that. His love is like that of a parent toward a child. And we can relate to that. Many of us here have children. It's the kind of love that keeps on loving even when the object of that love is unkind and unfaithful. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." As humans, that's kind of hard for us to understand, isn't it? Humans don't operate that way usually. But that's the way God operated. Verse 12 of this passage in 103, it says, "Our transgressions are removed from us as far as the east from the west." Well, how far is that? What does that mean? What it means is that they're out of sight. That's how far it is. We may not have the ability to completely erase from our minds the misdeeds that we do, but God does. And since He does, we don't need to continually beat ourselves up for our past and present struggles. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I would venture to say that many of us have done that. But God is able to put them out of sight. I'm going to qualify this. He puts them out of sight when we have become repentant and we pray to Him for forgiveness. So it's not that we can just continually sin and God's going to forget about it. No, there's a catch to it. We petition Him for forgiveness, and we have to do that with a repentant heart. The Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul, grievously sinned against the followers of Christians. And we know his story in the book of Acts. He was dragging people off to prison and consenting to their death. It tells us in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And I'm sure we all know how Jesus spoke to him on the way to Damascus, and we know about his conversion to Christ. But here's my question. How do you think that the Apostle Paul handled such a grievous sin that he had in putting Christians to death and putting them in prison? How did he handle that? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, this is what Paul says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." Of course, he's talking about his heavenly pursuit. "I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Don't hang up and dwell on the past, but keep your mind on the goal. What's ahead? "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." verse 7 and 8 of that same chapter, he says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Then when Eddie was talking to us in the table talk, he read from Romans. I think it was the 8th chapter, wasn't it, Eddie? 9th chapter, right? Romans 8 and 1 through 4, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now, besides all this great love and forgiveness that the Lord has, it says in Psalms, verse 13 and 14 of Psalms 103, it says, He has compassion for, He has compassion for us, mere mortals, who have been fashioned from the dust. Think about us. Here we are, we're made from the dust of the ground. The animals were made from the dust of the ground. And think about all the things that God created, but He has compassion for us. Even though we're made from the dust of the ground and we're made in His image, we are not gods, are we? No, we're not. He knows our makeup and He knows our propensity to sin. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic that we are understood by Him. Sometimes we don't even understand ourselves why we do what we do. But God does. Now, we look at these three great things that is just as sure as anything you'll ever know. And we have to be reminded of that, and we have to have that conscious in our minds. But there's a catch. And I'm sure you already noticed that. These great blessings of God only come to those who fear Him. So great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. That's what He said. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. So what implications does this qualifying statement carry with it? We need to be able to answer that. What implications does this qualifying statement carry with it to those that fear Him? Well, to fear God does not mean that we have a slavish dread of Him, but rather our fear is conjoined with love and hope. It is a respectful reverence, as children have toward their parents and grandparents. A respectful reverence. And if I can know the opposite, sometimes it helps me understand what I'm supposed to understand. So what is the opposite of someone that fears God? Well, the opposite is having no respect for His greatness and no respect for His words of instruction. And the best example I could think of, comes out of Psalms 10, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. This is a description of someone that does not fear God. It says, "For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." That's someone that does not fear the Lord. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. We need to understand that, don't we? Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken,